This is CliffCentral.com.
The bank wouldn't even speak to me without a South African ID. Everywhere I went, the first question they ask, can I have your ID? 1 month into living in South Africa, after coming here from New York, I felt worthless. The day that it hit me the hardest was after this teenager working behind the counter at a DV rental shop said, sorry, sir, we cannot accept your American ID to rent a movie. We need a South African identity book. You see, I couldn't even rent a $3 movie. My confidence was shattered. In New York, I was significant in my own little world. I had employees, people who looked up to me. So it never occurred that while I was sorting out my paperwork, that I would have to rely on my partner for every little thing. I was the poster child for independence. I left home at 18 years old and became independent. Actually, I was kicked out of my house, but that's another story. I have not lived within a 2-hour flight from my family since that time. Up until I finally received my ID, I had to count on my partner for all the little stuff. I would phone her for everything from just, I needed this, I needed that. See, she knew me from America. That's where we met. She knew the confident me. She knew, she never seen this reduced version, the confused, lowered, chained to her personality. It took years before my self-worth recovered. And admittedly, I made a lot of mistakes and took many wrong turns trying to rebuild my value. Welcome back to the next episode of the Brain and Brand Show. I am your host, Timothy Maurice, and this is the show where we explore the link between people and brands, how brands impact people, and how people impact brands. Today, I'm excited to look at how we measure our worth. Do you measure your worth by how many followers you have, or where you live, or what you drive? Perhaps you look at your partner and subconsciously think you've determined your worth based on their class. How do you practically measure your personal and organizational worth? Organizations measure their worth on many levels, from brand equity to assets. But many brands look at their people to assess their worth. Today, we will look at how you measure your worth from an individual as well as a brand perspective. I am amazed at how universities, for example, enjoy added value based on who went there. The fact that the Google founders went to Stanford, Stanford's worth is increased. Or all the U.S. presidents who went to Harvard. Harvard enjoys an increased value because of them. Today, I am thrilled to have in studio an extraordinary woman, an entrepreneur, a human behavioral coach. She is in studio. I'm going to try to pronounce her name. Ruxana Modan. Is that close?
Yes.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Timothy, for having me. I'm so honored to be on your show. I was so excited this morning when I woke up just to be here.
Thank you so much. How do you measure your personal worth?
I think it's what my value is, what my benefit is to other people. For me, it's very important. When I was called into this interview, first thing I wanted to know is, what kind of radio station is this? Who is my interviewer? Oh, I wanted to know your value, your core values. And for me, it's like, do I really want to partner with you? And of course, when I saw the prestige of who your client is, it's like, I wanted to be here. I was like, oh my God, this is like so big for me. So basically, yes, who you are is what your brand is all about. What you stand for, your core values, the benefits you would give to me, and also how true and authentic you are. That is what is important on your brand.
So your personal value, you measure against your values. So yes. Your values are what? Give me three of them that you hold.
For me, my three main core values is your true authentic purpose. Are you being true to who you are? Do you love what you're doing? For me, that is most important, is don't pretend. I don't like fake it till you make it. You need to know who you are, and what you're going to be giving to me. The second one for mine is, if you make a mistake, own it. I'm very humble and I have made mistakes through my path and my career, but I also can own it because I'm human. And that's most important, is never lie about the mistakes you make in life. And the third one is, I'm continuously learning. I don't think I know it all. So for me, that is quite important. I upgrade my skills continuously. I learn from the best. And I also learn from mistakes that have happened and how not to do those mistakes. Times are changing. Trends are changing. And we need to be versatile. We need to move with our times.
You're South African?
Yes.
And where were you born?
I was born in Lenasia, Johannesburg.
In Johannesburg. And your journey in Johannesburg, do you think people from Johannesburg in general, do you find that people are authentic here?
You know, being an international coach, I've been traveling for the past 2-3 years overseas. And it's been such a journey for me. The people that I grew up with, obviously, don't understand my purpose, my worth, where I am today, and my core purpose, my core values, and what I have to offer. So yes, I've been put in a box as a little girl, running and playing barefoot with all the other boys, soccer. That's what I love to do. People don't understand who I am. I don't think that we've been judged daily by my family. My family still see me as a little girl. You know, when they see me on Facebook with international film stars, and when they saw me with Randy Zuckerberg, it was like, oh my God. You know, then it strikes them that my sister's international. My neighbors, my friends, when they see me only on Facebook, on social media with celebrities, then they were like, oh, wow. I interviewed Vanilla Ice 2 months ago. And when I got back, everybody was like, oh my God, that is so amazing. It's sad that people associate you for who you are with, the value and the type of people that you are in. I don't think that is necessarily how I want to perceive people, but we are all basically judge ourselves with celebrities, bigger people, bigger corporate companies. It's seen that we're successful.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because when we start talking about measuring, there's a quote that says you measure yourself against those who measure themselves against you. So I think the celebrity and influencer dynamic happens because if a celebrity decides to measure themselves against you in a photo, people assume that your worth is higher. And so the perception and assumption of worth is fascinating. I mean, when you look at where South Africa received a downgrade, they didn't receive a downgrade because of anything that was actually done. It was the perception of what could happen after the shift. So perception plays a big role in this. And you've just mentioned you've traveled the world, interviewed all these different types of people. And is there any real value in it? Because I think there is value, but I want to hear from you. Being associated, Stanford associated to Google founders, like I mentioned earlier, Harvard associated to Barack Obama, you know, whether I don't know how people feel about it, but Trump associated to Pennsylvania, Wharton Business School. Any association does create some tangible value on some level. So what are your thoughts? Do you feel more powerful when you're with a celebrity? Because, you know, my listeners to this podcast, they see through anything. So I want to know from you. We want you to open up. Did you feel more powerful after you were around these people?
You know, the truth is I was a local girl and everything I've done was local. So I never had an inspiration or aspiration to ever be an international speaker, international event planner, international business coach. I never planned on it. But when I started traveling and I came into contact, I'll give you an example of Nido Cobain. He's the president of High Point University. And I had three, 4 days, amazing journey of just listening to him and how did he get there? And he shared on his love of how do you give back? How important it is to give back? And him and his wife have all these foundations. Learning from somebody that has made it, that is so empowered and so important. For me, coming back home to share that with my people was very important. Learning from Randi Zuckerberg. When she said she and her brother made the business decision of she would become his marketing person, and they signed the deal on a napkin, and she insisted, I want a salary. And he said, listen, you will thank me one day. You need shares. She got back home. She phoned him up again. She said, listen, listen, man, I left my good job for this. I need a salary. And he said, my sister, wait, definitely, I'm only giving you shares. You don't need a salary right now. And I mean, that was one of her pivoting moments in her career. Owning the shares was much, much better.
Yeah, than, we know they're worth much
yes.
more.
Being with the with the celebrities and being with such empowered people that have a journey, have a story, it's not about how big you are. It's about what purpose do you have? What value are you bringing into my life? I do quite a lot of empowerment and incubator programs. And I always say to my students and to my clients, show me the people that you surround yourself with, and I'll tell you what your net worth will be. You know, get rid of the naysayers. Get rid of the people that are just energy vampires, that are holding you down, that are telling you it's not possible. Because when I met all these people, I knew that my values were good. I knew that where I was heading was exactly where I wanted to be. I wanted to be an international speaker.
So they were merely a compliment. They didn't define your worth or your value. Awesome.
No.
And I think that's a great point, is starting with your foundational worth and really appreciating and understanding your worth. You know, that sort of boost you get for all the different likes. Have you, just on a side note, because I'm fascinated how much people love likes. Do you know which photo of yours you've ever posted on social media has had the most likes?
I think every time I change my profile picture, those ones get the most likes. I've spent some...
So your face.
My face.
The most likes. More than celebrities.
It doesn't make sense. I've been monitoring it, and I was like, why? Why? The minute I change my face, like into a different feature, it's like, okay, then I have most likes. But when I am with superstars and when I'm with celebrities, yes, there's not that many likes. So people like me for who I am.
I think they're hating on you. Let's look at the link between people and organization brand has become a powerful force. How important is it for companies to promote and strengthen the personal brands of their organization?
For me, the most important step of any company is to brand themselves. That is the foundation. You build your marketing on that. You build your campaigns on that. You build your everything is built on your brand. Your brand says who you are. What is the benefit you bring or the service you're giving to your client? What is the item you're bringing in? So if you look at many companies like Google, the benefit of Google, the benefit of Coca-Cola, these are the top trendsetters of brands and their values that they stick to. So without a brand, you're not telling your client who you are. Today, one of the changes, and it's a huge shift, it was never seen as one of the marketing tools. Today, one of the top branders of a company is your employees. What they say about you, what they talk about is like, this is what my company core values are. This is how they look after me. This is what they bring to the fore. That actually boosts your brand. People want to know, what is it that feel good? How will they be felt good? What is it that they feel when they hear your name? Does it make them feel good? Does it make them want to deal with you? It's an emotion. A brand isn't an emotion.
Your personal business, you are the founder of, is it Apex?
Yes.
How do you measure the worth of Apex?
Again, it's about my core values. Do I deliver on what I say I'm going to deliver?
No, but I'm thinking tangibly. Like, how much is it? Like, not necessarily how much is the business worth, but, you know, from my understanding in terms of your background, you help people determine the worth of their business or no?
Yes.
So how do you go about determining the worth of a business?
Well, basically, you know, it comes down to money. What is your profit that you're making?
Okay.
Are you making a profit? But also, are you a likable company? Did you cause damage? And if you did cause damage, how are you fixing that damage? We all make mistakes. Don't get me wrong. We all make mistakes in our businesses. But it's, how did you fix that mistake? Were you honest enough to say, I've made this mistake and this is how I'm going to fix it? Or did you apologize to your client, your customer? So for me, your value of your business is, are you a big enough person? Are you strong enough to admit your faults? Are you true and authentic? Because many times our products fail us. Sometimes our staff fail us because they are the worst person that can damage your brand is your staff. If you don't look after them, the damage is so bad that they can cause for you. That brings your value. That tells me exactly, do you have a core value that is is there tangible money in that business? Because you can buy a very thriving company, but the damage of the brand is now already there. Within a year or 2 years, you will suffer that losses.
Got it. So you've got profit dynamics. You've got your reputation. You've got this sort of brand equity, how people see the brand. You've got your people. Is there any other ways that you can look at measuring the worth of a brand?
For me, I look at the qualities, the top five, like Google, Coca-Cola, McDonald's. McDonald's is not the tastiest burger, to be honest with you. They are so much more better. But how they brand themselves. I mean, many kids force their parents to go and buy their burger, which doesn't taste very nice, but it's how they brand themselves. And they have made so much of mistakes. You just need to Google them and all the people that get sick from their food and stuff, but they own it. They're like, yes, we've had this problem. Yes, we've had contamination. We're fixing it. We're working on it. And that is important, to own your mistake, but also to fix it and say, yes, we admit it. They never say, no, nobody didn't get sick, or yes, we had contamination in our food. They own it. KFC is one of those brands as well. I mean, the way the advertisements go tells you so much, you know, finger licking good. Everybody's like, oh my God, I've got to have to eat some of this. Even if you know there's so much of saturated oils and it's not good for your health.
Sure.
The way they advertise it makes you feel good to eat that chicken. So it's about a brand. It's feel good.
So the quality, the value of the brand helps determine the worth. And so now you're saying as individuals, we've gotten to a point where the individual's value is largely placed on their personal brand. So let's talk about individuals growing their personal brand worth. There's been a lot of value placed on your social media following, how many people follow you, etc. How much influence do you place on that? Like, you know, is it possible to not be on social media but still have a powerful personal brand?
Well, you know, I'm actually not so savvy on technologically. I'm not advanced at all. I start having a headache when I think about social media. But it's a trend that is here. It's something we need to accept. And I've had to learn how to be on social media. Today, when you're going for a job, or you have a huge client, first thing he takes out his phone and he Googles you. He checks your media presence. He looks at your Facebook. He looks at your Twitter. He looks at your LinkedIn. Are you actually seen? Does the public know you? Why is it that you're not on social media? Those are questions people ask. What do you have to hide? Sure. Did you delete your profile because you messed up? Mm. So those kind of questions come about where people now don't trust you. So, yes, on social media, I've made major mistakes. I mean, I was one of those people that never took social media I never thought it's important, to be honest with you. I thought it's a plaything. And my kids tried to show me how to use Facebook a few years ago, and I would post my cat, and I'd post my food, and I'd post my new shoe when I buy it. And then I had to learn that, you know what? This is not what social media is about. How is it adding value to show somebody what is my food that I'm eating? I had to understand that there was a message. If I wanted to help anybody, there had to be a message with that post of food. It's like, what value did it give me? Did it make me feel good? Was it after a bad day? Was it just socially with my friends? And what is the purpose of it? So how you post on social media is important. It so brands
has
you.
Has it helped your brand at all? Has it helped drive more value to your business, more clients?
Yes, absolutely. I have got lots of clients through Facebook. They follow me, my traveling. They ask me, how is it possible that you're never behind a desk? How is it possible that you're traveling 24/7?
How is it possible?
Well, you know, basically, I think the most important thing I've learned 3 years ago from my business coach was how to work on my business and not in my business. So I have businesses and they run effectively because I have people that work in my organization. And yes, I can manage my business from anywhere in the world.
So you do take a percentage of your budget to use it for travel?
Yes, definitely.
What is that percentage?
Well, I think it's a bit too much. It's too high at the moment. So I use about 20%, 25%, which I know it's my love. My passion is traveling. And why not work and travel at the same time? So yes, I love traveling. I just come back from the UK. I was there for 32 days. But I also worked and I spoke at many events and I did a lot of coaching. So yes.
Okay, so before you go to the UK, let's talk about how you pull it off, how you build your brand logistically. So before you go, weeks before you go, you make phone calls to, do you partner with organizations there to help position you in the market? Do they make the calls? Do you reach out to friends who have friends there? What is the process of actually getting business when you land?
So mine has been, my journey is, I've been for 2 years traveling. So right now, it's not in that process. It's where people now call me. Before, 2 years ago, I would actually phone and offer my services and say to them, would you like me to come through? And obviously negotiate my fee to the lowest because I wanted to get my foot into the market. And today, I'm truly blessed that people phone me and say, we would like you to come to our country. We would like you to come and offer your services to us. We would like you to speak at our events. So 2 years ago, yes, I was hustling. I phoned. I begged people literally to say, okay, just for free, let me speak.
So this is fascinating because you know what I like? This is getting to the real world why I wanted you on the show. So your personal worth 2 years ago versus your worth now is measured in fascinating ways. So then you 2 years ago, you had a high self-worth. You knew where you were going. You knew where you could be. But you had to reduce the exchange on your services to be able to build a track record. And that did not lower your worth. But were there moments when you were speaking for free or you took, you know, 100 pounds or whatever, were there moments when you struggled with self-worth or... You know, did you always have it right where you were felt confident the whole time?
You know, I'm not going to lie and tell you that I always have it together. I came out of a severely abusive marriage. So, yes, there were times when I didn't feel that I was worthy. I didn't feel that I had the confidence to move forward. And I'm grateful that I had an amazing life coach that helped me transform into the mindset I have today. And that's why I actually studied and became a transformational life coach myself. So I could help people overcome limiting beliefs, blockages, things that hold them back to say
trauma,
that I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I don't think I can do it. The fear. Today, I don't believe that I'm not worthy. I believe that I'm very worthy of everything I do. I do it with my heart, my love, my passion. I'm very passionate about everything I do because I feel it. It's exactly what I am where I truly need to be.
Okay. When was the moment you started to make a transformation when you went from feeling like your value was low after the abuse to feeling worthy? What was there a moment? Was there a conversation in the mirror? You know, and I'm sure it was a series of things, but do you remember what helped get you over the top?
You know, like I say, again, it was I went through a life coach and the process she took me was finding out what is my why in life. Why? And my why got stronger and stronger. She worked on my driver focus filter. What is it that I truly wanted to...
What do you call it? The driver focus filter.
So your driver, what drives you? What drives you to be passionate, wake up in the morning to just strive for another day, even if it's not going to be a successful day? What keeps you going? Your focus is like we have so much of things happening in our minds that how do we focus it and bring it back into a funnel? And your filter is how do you filter out all the negativity, the naysayers, the people telling you you're going to fail, you've never done this before. So they call it the most effective thing that I've had to learn was having my driver focus filter is to like keep me focused on my path. Although people kept telling me, you're going to fail. Why are you traveling? You know, you're not even making money on it. Today, I see I'm reaping the rewards of all my sacrifices, my hard work, leaving my family at home. It was difficult. I had days when I'd sit in my hotel and cry and ask myself, what are you doing?
So you did have those days.
Yes.
And when you were in the hotel, what kept you going? You're crying, you're going, oh my God, am I really international? Maybe I should go back to Lanesia. I can do this thing in Joburg and Durban is fine. What made you feel like you could keep going?
And that's why I said my most important factor was my why. Why was I doing this?
You kept telling yourself, this is my why.
Yes. My focus is I have these pics of my sons and they're on my laptop, on my phone, and it reminded me that I want to show my sons that I'm not a broken bird, that I'm a whole woman and that I'm a strong mother, that I want them to have a good example in their life.
How old are your sons?
I have a son that is 26, Yusuf, and I have Arif, he's 17.
Incredible. And so 2 years ago, you had a 15-year-old son. You would look at this photo of your 15-year-old son and your 25-year-old son 2 years ago, and something would happen in your heart.
Yes.
and you would rise up, use that fire, and you kept going.
Absolutely.
At what point did you realize, I'm sure there was another, like maybe after a year, you've been doing this thing for a year and you look back at those photos and you felt proud of yourself. Was there a moment?
I think the most, the love that I felt, the joy that I felt is I came back home from a trip, and that particular trip, I actually got to meet Charles Dance from Game of Thrones. And I couldn't remember where did I see him. And I know we were just chatting and we were in an event together. And I came back home and I was showing my sons the pictures, and my sons were like, "Oh my God, Mom, you're moving with big shots. This is..."
This was like their hero.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were like, "Oh my God." And then I realized, you know, my sons are proud of me. I am achieving what I set out to achieve. That I wanted my sons to see that I'm a strong woman, that I can be a mom and I can do my career at the same time. And the love that flowed in me when I just saw how proud my sons were of me, I knew that all the sacrifice, all the pain that I was suffering, I hated being in a hotel. I was never that person. I'm a very family oriented person. But when I got back home and I saw how proud my sons were of me, it made all that sacrifice worth it.
Do they know how much their presence in those photos inspired you to keep going? Do they have any idea?
You know, I was having a very bad moment when I was 2 years ago. I was in a hotel and I think I had my breakdown moment. I broke my toe in Thailand. I was there to do some coaching and I phoned my son and I was like, "I really regret this. I shouldn't be here. I should be at home with you guys." And my son, he was 15 at the time. It was on his birthday, 5th of December. He said, "I know that you're not in a good place right now, and I know you wish you were home, but it's okay. You got this. We got your back." And it was so amazing that my child was motivating me to say, "We would love you to be home. We would want you to be here. It's difficult without you, but we know what the purpose is of you not being here." And it gave me that fire. It gave me tenacity to just push on and strive to achieve where I am today.
For anyone listening who is in that place where you were 2 years ago and they're looking to build themselves, they're looking to build their self-worth, maybe their business is crumbling, maybe they're struggling with whatever, they're looking to grow their worth. Give us a couple of tips. I want you to put your coaching transformational hat on for a moment. And I know it's free, so they're not paying you, but just give back.
Yes, I love give back.
Two or three tips that people can use to physically, maybe they don't have sons, they don't have photos of these cute boys, but I'm sure they have something. So a couple tips on how to rebuild their worth.
You know, we all are sitting in a position where something breaks us, be it male or female. Sometimes you just don't feel like you're worthy as a man. You're not the perfect husband. You're not the perfect lover. You're not the perfect father. Same as a woman, where you feel that you're not the perfect woman, or your husband's replaced you with a younger version of who you are. And the thing that I want you to remember is that you are born alone and you will die alone. The journey that you're on right now is purely yours. My sayings on my Facebook, and I live by it, is just live, love, laugh, and let go of all that doesn't serve you. Trauma doesn't serve you. It lowers your energy. Anger doesn't serve you. It lowers your energy. Frustration, being mean, don't bully anybody. Just live your life, loving, being happy, bringing joy into your life. And sometimes it's very difficult, but I wake up every single morning. And the three things I practice and all my clients practice, and this is, I'm telling you, I love to give this information out, is I wake up every single morning and I give thanks for what I am grateful for. Whether it's my bed, my beautiful children, whether it's something I'm wearing today or the lovely food I ate at night, I give thanks and be grateful for what I have. The second thing I always is, what do I love about myself? What is it that I truly love? I love my tenacity. I love the passion that I have. I love that I'm true to who I truly am. I love that I'm craved to learn, and the knowledge that I seek, that I'm on this journey, that I'm totally in love with my life. I'm totally into affirmations. Affirm. Not in the past, not in the future, in the now. I am super. I am powerful. I am a businessman. I am a profit maker. I am empowering people's lives. I'm a change maker. Those are my affirmations that I say daily. And I practice what I preach. So those people that are finding that today is not a good day for them, and today that everything is just not working out for themselves, tomorrow is a new day. The sun will rise. There will be light in your life. I always say, and to me this is most important, without the darkness in my life, I would never appreciate the light. Without the hatred that I was shown, I'd never appreciate the love. Without the screaming and chaos that I had, I'd never appreciate the silence and the tranquility I have. Without the poverty that I had, I'd never appreciate my success I have today. So where you are today, you will propel yourself into wherever you see yourself to be. If I can do it, so can you. Don't limit yourself.
For people who want more of this, you know, extraordinary insight into building your self-worth, how do they get a hold of you?
You can contact me on my Facebook page on Roxana Modan, R-O-O-K-S-A-N-A space M-O-D-A-N, or you can contact me on my web, www.roxanamodan.com.
Thanks for not giving up.
Thank you so much for allowing me to share my journey with you.
I appreciate you joining us on the Brain and Brand Show, and I know people are going to reach out to you, and I look forward to you continuing your journey. I mean, if you got that far in 2 years, then the next 2 years should be a fascinating new chapter.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Thanks you for listening to the Brain and Brand Show. We'll be back next week with the next episode. Please continue to subscribe and share with your friends.
This is CliffCentral.com.